we have lunch immediately after our time of worship. Just go through the chapel into the corner door and up to where the table is. As you go into fellowship hall, the serving table is on the right. And look forward to the fellowship there after our time of worship. As we begin our worship, let's take a few moments to be still before God and to be aware of His presence with us. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we humble ourselves in your presence and come with confidence to your throne of grace through the Lord Jesus Christ and under the leading of the Holy Spirit. We confess to you the sins in our hearts, sins of omission and commission, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride in our hearts. Oh, please forgive us of our sins and iniquities and blot out our transgressions. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit that we may worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you for brothers and sisters in Christ who are here today to worship you. Please keep the evil one from us and help us to focus on your word. As we look at this particular passage in Hebrews, give us understanding and instruct us by your Holy Spirit, that we may be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And Lord, we pray that if there's anyone who doesn't know Jesus Christ here today, that they'd come to know him, to be freed from the bondage of sin and death. Now we gather to worship you in spirit and in truth. I trust that our worship would be pleasing and honoring to your holy and majestic name. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we're looking at Hebrews chapter 10. So if you'd like to turn to Hebrews chapter 10, we're going to look at verses 9 and 10 today. Yesterday we were looking at the gospel according to John, chapter 1, verse 29, where John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And in studying that, we looked at the sin and how the Lord took that away. Now, beginning today, we're going to look at, since he has taken the sin of the world away, the sin from our lives as we have faith in him, what does that mean for you and me? Well, obviously it means that we're free from the bondage of sin and death. We have spiritual life, but we're looking at other aspects of salvation that God has provided for us through his Son. So in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, "Behold, I have come to do your will." He does away with the first in order to establish the second. "And by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Now, in this passage, we're talking about, and in chapter 10 of Hebrews, it's talking about Jesus Christ being the best high priest, better than any other priest that served in the Old Testament time, including during the New Testament days, the early days of Jesus' ministry. And so look at verse 9, where Jesus said, where the author says, "Behold, I have come to do your will." This is a crucial truth in here for the rest of this teaching. The word "behold" means listen carefully what I'm going to tell you. This is very important. "I have come to do your will." The word "will" there means to do what God has determined. So we're actually looking at the sovereignty of God, the eternal decree of God, not only for Christ, but for us. So here we have one of the purposes in Jesus Christ coming is to carry out the will of God. He did this in his own life, and this is something that you and I should be doing in our lives on a daily basis. Now, notice the second part of verse 9. "He does away with the first in order to establish the second. Well, he's talking about fulfilling the covenant of the Old Testament. And he does away with it. How did he do that? If you'll turn with me to Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. How do we interpret and understand to do away with? In Matthew 5, 17 and 18, Jesus teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. So Jesus didn't annul God's law. He fulfilled it on our behalf. So when we go back to Hebrews chapter 10, and we're looking at verse 9, that he does away with the first, doing away with it in the way Jesus did it was to fulfill it, not to cause it to be of the word of God to be of no effect. And we're talking here the Old Testament. So he fulfilled the law on our behalf. Now look at verse 10. And by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. By that will, this is the will of God. This is what he's determined in his eternal decree before the foundation of the world. We have been sanctified. We have been sanctified. There's three definitions here that apply. The first one is, we're free from the guilt of sin. When Jesus said, when John said about Jesus, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, that means that the sin has been removed from us through the blood of Christ and his pouring out of his life for us. And so in this case of being sanctified, we're free from sin and we're free from the guilt of it. There are a lot of believers walking around thinking, well, I've thought so much bad stuff in this particular, and I've done this and I've done that. There's no way God will forgive me for this. And that's wrong. God will forgive you if you confess and repent and ask for forgiveness. So the sin is forgiven and the guilt that goes with it. So being sanctified means that's removed. That guilt and that sin is removed. The second part is now that that sin and guilt is removed, you and I who are in Christ become God's own possession. And this is awesome to think about, that you and I, because of our faith in Christ, God owns us. God possesses us. You know, all of us in our homes have these treasures that are very special to you personally. And you don't want anybody messing with it. It's yours. That's your special possession. Well, you and I are a special possession of the true and living God, because he sent his Son into the world to die for our sins and to raise him from the dead. So we are God's own special possession. And then the third aspect here is the fact that you and I have been set apart for a holy purpose. Not just set apart for a purpose, but a holy purpose. A purpose that is going to honor the Lord. You know, we all have jobs and responsibilities, and sometimes we think, mine's not that big a deal. Anybody can do this. And, you know, there might be some truth in that. But when you and I think about being a believer in Jesus Christ, and everything that you and I do in our lives is serving the Lord and is fulfilling a holy purpose that he has determined is holy, then that's pretty special. This is what is so great about the Puritans. is that they saw everything in their lives as an act of worship of God. Everything. And this is biblical. What is the chief end of man? Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Then that means that everything you and I do should be honoring to God. And so this is what He set us aside for, is to honor Him. So God's given to each one of us who have faith in Christ a holy purpose. And so everything that you and I do in our lives is fulfilling that holy purpose that God's given to us. Now, notice here how this has taken place in the last line of verse 10, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. The priest had to offer sacrifices all during the day, particularly on the Day of Atonement, and they were always offering it. And it never, the sacrifices in the Old Testament never took the sin away. It only covered it. Only the blood of Christ takes that sin away. But here we have Christ coming and offering Himself one time and remove the sin. Okay, since we've been set aside for a holy purpose, the sin and guilt has been removed, and we are God's own possession. How does that work out for you and me on a daily basis? How can I keep myself in such a spiritual condition that I will be able to honor God and to be a holy purpose in His plan? Well, turn to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. This particular verse is one of the first verses I memorized when I became a believer in Christ. And I quote it to myself an awful lot because I need it. And I think all of us need it as well. Look at 1 John 1, 9. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Look at what we have to do here. If we confess our sin, the word confess there means to admit or declare oneself guilty. I was listening to the news yesterday, and they were asking an attorney what happened that caused Governor Bentley to step down. And his response was very interesting because he said, the first step in working through something that you've done and you know is wrong is accepting the fact that you are indeed guilty. And when he realized he was guilty and they were going to hold him accountable, he stepped down. I thought, you know, that applies to every human being. That the trouble with unconfessed sin is we don't think we're sinned. We've sinned against God. And we have. And we do. And as long as we're in this life, we will continue to do so. We must always remember we're sinners saved by grace. Sometimes we put so much emphasis on saved by grace, we forget we're still sinners. And so in order to continue honoring God in our lives for the holy purpose He's chosen us to fulfill, we have to admit, that was a wrong attitude. I shouldn't have desired that. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. That is nothing but sin. And you know, you and I don't have to tell another soul. We just have to confess it to the Lord. We just have to say, I'm guilty. And that's what confession is. Confession that I am guilty of the sin that I have committed. So that's the first step, if we confess our sin. Now notice what it says about the Lord. He is faithful and just. He is faithful. You can trust Him. I can trust Him. Every one of us in here can trust the Lord that when we go before Him, and we confess that sin, he's faithful. What does that mean? That means that he's going to do what he said he's going to do, which is ultimately forgive us. You're not going to go and confess sin and say, you know, I've changed my mind. I'm going to zap you for that. No, he doesn't do that. If we confess our sin, he is faithful. He is trustworthy. You and I can depend on him. And he's just. That means he's not going to commit the sin of lying or deceiving and not forgive. He will forgive whenever you and I confess and repent. And this is what he does. So he's faithful and just. What is he faithful and just to do? To forgive us our sins. To forgive, the verb to forgive actually means to release. What does it mean to be released from sin? It means that because of Jesus Christ dying on the cross for our sin and being raised from the dead, that Jesus has satisfied the holy and just wrath of God on our behalf for our sin. So God doesn't hold us responsible anymore. When that sin is confessed and we ask for forgiveness, we're asking God, release me from this accountability because of Christ. We are released. And so he forgives us. And we see here that he forgives our sins. Now we need to define sin here. Most Christians define sin as a behavior. Well, that's the outworking of the sin. But the sin is a spiritual condition of the heart. And that spiritual condition is one that rejects God and puts ourselves in charge. So we reject God, we reject his word, and we do what we want to do and what we think is best, and that is sin. And so this is something that you and I battle day in and day out. And this is what we need to confess. So he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And notice he goes another step. And then to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The cleansing from all unrighteousness. The word all there is in the singular. And it means from each one. Each act of unrighteousness, when we confess it, it is forgiven. Now, unrighteousness, what do we think about unrighteousness? It's a disregard for God. We have we don't have any respect for God. Hey, I can do this my way. I'm going to do it my way. I don't care what you say. That's part of unrighteousness. And the other part of unrighteousness, it's a refusal to obey God. I'm not going to confess that sin. It's not a big deal. Or we don't even think about confessing the sin. And yet, this is what God has done in sanctifying us. He set us aside for his holy purpose. For his own possession, he's done this. And the process is freeing us from the guilt that we are guilty of. And so we confess the sin, and he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Brothers and sisters, you know this. I just want to remind all of us, forgiveness is not automatic. Think about it. Forgiveness is not automatic, because we've just studied in 1 John 1:9 that sin has to be confessed in order to be forgiven. And if you look at throughout the scripture, God does not forgive until his people confess. And so you and I should always be mindful of sin and be mindful of confession and the forgiveness that comes when we do this. This is what Christ accomplished for you and me. And so we reflect back on being sanctified. We're free from that guilt in Christ when we confess the sin. We are his special possession. And you and I have been set aside for a holy purpose. And in order to fulfill that holy purpose, It is our responsibility to confess our sin. So, my brothers and sisters, all of us, keep this in mind, that we are sanctified and we want to be a vessel fit for the Master's use to fulfill that holy purpose. Shall we stand for our closing prayer? Father in heaven, thank you so much for this opportunity to worship you today, to reflect in this holy week the life of Christ, what it means to us on a daily basis of being sanctified. That is, we're free from the guilt of sin. We are God's own possession, and that you have set us apart for a holy purpose. So, Father, work in our hearts by your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin and ask for forgiveness, and you will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that we will be able to fulfill that holy purpose for which you have chosen us. Thank you for the spiritual nourishment that you've given us in our time of worship. Now, Father, we look forward to the nourishment that we will receive from the food that you've provided for us, and we thank you for those that have prepared it. Bless this food to the nourishment of our bodies and continue to use us for the work of your kingdom. Dismiss us with your peace and mercy. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.